بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من استنى بسنته وسار على نهجه واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As we approach the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and as we approach the best 10 nights of the year, and perhaps for many of us, the best 10 nights of our lifetimes, we know that a night is coming up. In these last 10 nights, we are searching, we are seeking, we are wanting, we are looking for this night, the night of Al-Qadr, the night of power, the night of status, the night of decree. And we know that this night is a night of dua. It is a night of asking Allah all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our wants, all of our needs. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds in these last 10 nights unlike the way He responds in any part of the year. And so today we are taking two names of Allah that are closely related to, closely linked to the act of dua, the act of asking Allah. And those are His names, Al-Wahhab and Al-Fattah. And we start with Allah's name, Al-Wahhab. There's a, in the Arabic language, wahaba yahabu means to give a gift. And what is a gift? Is when you give somebody something with nothing in return. It's very different from any other transaction. When you buy, you purchase with money, with currency, with pounds, dollars, yen, bitcoin, with anything you have in your hand. When you buy, when you sell, all of these are exchange. The only transaction that human beings have where you give something with nothing in return is a gift. And a gift tends to be given, it tends to be associated with surprise. People don't tend to expect a gift. You don't call somebody and say, hey, tomorrow at 5 p.m., bring a gift to my house. That's not how it works. The gift tends to be unexpected. The gift tends to be something you don't know what's inside. It comes in a bag, it comes in a box. You don't know what's inside it. A gift tends to have nothing to do with you as a person. So for example, whether I'm rich or I'm poor or where I live or where I'm from, people don't select a gift based on what house you live in, which car you drive, where. People tend to give a gift out of the goodness of their own heart, not reflecting who you are and where you are at. These are the associations, the meanings that are associated with the word gift, al-hiba. Now, Allah's name, al-Wahhab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the names that He has called Himself with, He has given Himself in the Quran, is His beautiful name, Al-Wahhab. And there are specific things, specific types of blessings Allah describes with this name, Al-Wahhab, the gift, the giver of gifts. Before we discuss and we understand, we explore what are those blessings, first, the word itself, Al-Wahhab. In Arabic, if you want to say, if I'm somebody who give gifts, you can call me Al-Wahib, ism fa'il. Or you can call me Al-Wahub, sighat fa'ul. Or you can call me Al-Wahhab. What's the difference between these three? My bright students have returned today. Alhamdulillah. Yes. What's the difference between Al-Wahib and Al-Wahhab? Uncle, is your hand up? No. Yes, Habib. Okay, he's constantly giving gifts. Then you call him Al-Wahhab. There's one more association with it, yes? Okay, like he said, there's one more. He's someone who's constantly giving gifts again and again and again, but also the gifts themselves are, yes? He likes to give, yes, and? The gifts are of high value. The gifts are extreme in nature. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Himself Al-Wahhab, it's a way of exaggeration. Extreme, the extreme giver of gifts. The intense giver of gifts. The constant giver of gifts. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this name, Al-Wahhab, in specific gifts that He gave His slaves. Who can give me the first? In order, Surah Ali Imran. End of the first page.
Ya
يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. This is in another part of the Quran. Allah says He gifts people, whoever He wishes, He gifts them a child, a female child, whoever He wishes, He gifts them a male child. Note that there were only two genders mentioned in this verse, no more, alhamdulillah. So, one of the gifts Allah frequently mentions in the Quran is children. Okay, what else? What are the other gifts that Allah describes in the Quran as gifts from Him? Sorry? Guidance. Give me the ayah. Someone said the start of the ayah. Yes. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. والله, don't divert us, don't misguide us, don't send us astray after you guided us, and gift us from your mercy. You are the giver of gifts. Innaka antal wahhab. There's three emphasis in this ayah. Innaka antal wahhab. And that is the greatest gift of Allah, is the gift of iman. Because without this gift, you and me, our home in the hereafter is a home in the fire. It's not worth it. All the other gifts are lesser than this gift. This is the first and the greatest gift, the gift of iman. And then we just said the gift of children. Allah grants people the gift of children. There's another gift that Allah describes in the Quran as a hiba. Yes. Beautiful. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O Allah, make our spouses, our wives, husbands, and our children the coolness of our eyes. There's one thing to be gifted a child, but that child could be horrible. That child could be a test. That child could be arrogant. That child could be difficult. It's another gift for Allah to make your family members, your wife, your husband, and your children, the coolness of your eyes. What is the coolness of your eyes? They are the people, when you look at them, you feel peace. You feel cool. You feel serenity. That's another, a special gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another gift of Allah, as He mentions in the Quran, is actually a gift of this world. Sulaiman alayhi salam. It's one of the requests of Sulaiman to Allah. Go on. Sulaiman requests Allah. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me the Arabic ayah? Yes, Sheikh. MashaAllah, good. It's okay. You did the riwayah bil ma'na. You gave me the meaning. So you still get the point, inshallah. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, "Oh Allah, forgive me. I made a mistake." He made an error. He made a mistake. And he says, "Gift me a kingdom that nobody after me can have. You are the giver of gifts." He's asking Allah for a gift that's beyond anybody's expectation. And because he's asking Allah with his name Al-Wahhab, the giver of gifts, he knows nothing is too small to ask Allah. So Allah gives him a kingdom, not like anybody's king. Now you might think for a second, well, today there are people who are multi-billionaires. Surely their kingdom was bigger than Sulaiman's. But there's something in Sulaiman alayhi salam's control that no human being will ever have control over. What is that? Okay, the ability to talk to animals, what else? The ability to control the wind, what else? The ability to control the jinn. The ability to, yes. So Allah didn't give, it's not about the monetary value, how much money He gave Sulaiman, but He gave him control over things human beings will never have control over. So we're going to talk about, these are the gifts Allah mentions in the Quran. The gift of iman. The gift of children and family. The gift of making your family the coolness and the source of peace in your life. The gift of kingdom and power and strength and control. These are some of the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. Why does He call them gifts? I want to start with one of these. Story of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he makes a mistake. The scholars differ what exactly was his mistake. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا سُلَيْمَانَ وَأَلْقَيْنَا عَلَىٰ كُرْسِيهِ جَسَدًا ثُمَّ أَنَابَ. we tested Sulaiman and we threw on his throne a dead body, a lifeless corpse or a statue. And he realized his mistake and he came back to us. Now, there is no authentic hadith, nothing authentic telling us what was this mistake that Sulaiman alayhi salam made. There's various opinions between the scholars. Let us skip what the test was. Let us come to what happened after the test. I want you to imagine in your life, you made a mistake. You made a mistake in your life. Let's say you missed a salah. Let's say you wronged somebody. Let's say you didn't pay your zakah. You missed a fast on purpose. You made a grave mistake in your life. Now, when you make a mistake, you usually come back to Allah and you are humiliated. You are down. You don't ask Allah big things because right now you are in a really low mood. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he teaches us that when you make a mistake, when you do something wrong and you come back to Allah sincerely, you sincerely ask the forgiveness of Allah. Don't be modest with what you are asking Him. Because His name, Al-Wahhab, you know when somebody is giving you a gift, they're going to give you a gift according to how wealthy they are. You have a wedding, you have a aqiqah, you have a child. Somebody comes, they give you an envelope, it has 50 pounds. Somebody comes, they give you an envelope, it has 100 pounds. Usually it depends on their generosity. You are dealing with the one who is most generous. You are dealing with the one who can give you a gift that you never expected before. When Sulaiman alayhi salam is asking Allah's forgiveness, he doesn't say, "Oh Allah, forgive me and just give me like a small kingdom worth like 10,000 pounds, I'll be happy." He asks him in an ambitious manner. And he asks him convinced Allah is going to give him beyond what he asks. "Oh Allah, give me a kingdom you never gave anybody before me." As Muslims, we think very small. We ask Allah for very small things. When Laylatul Qadr comes, we ask Allah for very simple and very small things. But really, those who know Allah's name, Al-Wahhab, the giver of gifts, you know, Allah can surprise you. Allah can give you a gift you never expected. Allah can surprise you. The gift you get, the blessing that you get, is in a way you never imagined. So why are we asking Allah in such a small-minded manner? Sulaiman alayhi salam asks Allah, "Give me the greatest kingdom ever." Allah gives him something he didn't expect. Control over the wind, ability to talk to the ants, control over the jinn. You and me, we have to ask Allah in an ambitious manner. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Idha sa'altum Allah, fas'aluhu al-firdaus." If you are going to ask Allah for something in paradise, in Jannah, ask Him for the greatest part of paradise, al-firdaus. Don't ask Him for the basement, ask Him for the penthouse. Don't ask Him for the one-star apartment. Ask Him for the seven-star. He is Allah Al-Wahhab. He gives according to His means, not according to your ambitions. This is what we learn from the story of Sulaiman. In the Quran, the most frequent mention of a gift is to do with one particular blessing, the blessing of family. When Allah describes Ibrahim alayhi salam as he is waiting to have a child, Allah says, وَوَهَبَنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. We gifted him Ishaq and Ya'qub. When Allah talks about Zakariya alayhi salam, Zakariya, for almost a century, almost 100 years, he's just waiting for a child, asking Allah for a child. He says, رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Oh Allah, gift me a progeny, gift me a child. Allah frequently, when He talks about children, He uses the word gift. More than anything else in the Quran, He uses the word gift for children. Why? You tell me why. Someone other than my diligent student, yes?
They are one of the means after you pass away, they are one of the means to get reward.
Okay, children are one of the means to get reward after you pass away. Yeah, what else? Why is children used as a gift in the Quran? Yes, Habibi.
Never
children are never guaranteed for anybody. Now, how many people have been waiting for children? For 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. They go through IVF, they go through so many treatments and solutions. It's not happening. But one sincere and serious dua to Allah can yield serious results. There's another thing as well. It's not just not everybody's guaranteed a child. Can you guarantee what that child would be like? No. 9 months, this child is growing as a fetus in the womb of its mother. 9 months of pain, of exhaustion, of tiredness. And then after 9 months, 10, 15, 20 years, a parent sweats and tires and loses sleep over this child, changes the nappies and deals with the tantrums and all of this. Are they guaranteed that this child will turn out anything good? No. There is nothing in this world equivalent to the gift of a child that is righteous. Everything else in this world, you can expect what the outcome will be to some extent. You can predict the outcome to some extent. Everything else in this world, whether it's wealth, whether it's family, whether it's whatever you are working for, when you work for something, you can work hard, most likely you get something out of it. Except for your children. You can sweat to bring up your children. You can do everything to do the best for them. And yet they can turn the opposite of what you expected. And this is why, whenever Allah grants a prophet a child, He uses the word gift. Because it's a surprise. It's unexpected. To the extent that when the two angels come to announce to Ibrahim alayhi salam that Allah is going to gift you a child, his wife starts to laugh. فَضَحِكَتْ. She's so surprised. Really? I'm infertile. I can't have children. I'm going to have a child. أَنَا عَجُوزٌ وَهَذَا بَعْلِي شَيْخًا. I'm so old and, you know, this is my spouse. He's too old to have children. Really? And what do the angels respond to the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam? كَذَلِكِ اللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. This is Allah we're dealing with. He does whatever He wants. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahl al-bayt. This is Allah's mercy and His blessing upon you, the people of this household. We cannot underestimate the challenge for future generations. If you're a father, soon to be father, young man, young woman, soon to be mother, the world your children will inherit is worse than the world we live in today. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a famous hadith, لا يأتي زمان إلا الذي إلا والذي بعده أشر منه. Every time, every century, every era will be worse than the one before. The Prophet promises us, times are only going to get worse, they're not going to get better. The fitna is only going to get worse. The tests are going to only get worse. The challenges to our iman is only going to get worse. Your children and my children are going to live in a world more difficult, more harder, and worse than we are living today. The greatest gift Allah can give us is to keep them on the straight path. So we have to beg Allah for this gift. We have to ask Him to surprise us with our children and with our families, with our spouses, with our families. Because if your children and my children, your family, your spouse, your husband, your cousin, your brother, if our immediate families are lost, you could have everything in this world, you won't sleep at night. The most wealthiest people in this world, when their children and their wife is in the hospital, when their children and their wife is having a surgery, they cannot sleep at night. And for us, worse than the test of this world, the test of health and the test of wealth, is the test in our deen. We don't want Allah to test us in our deen. Test me in my health. Oh Allah, test me in my wealth. Oh Allah, test me in my finances. But don't test me in my deen. Allahumma la taftinna fi deenina. This is one of the supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh Allah, don't try me, don't put me on a trial when it comes to my deen. Similarly, with our family, with our wife, with our children, these are the people, if they are having a tough time, we cannot sleep at night. So the greatest gift of Allah is to grant our spouses and children who are the coolness of our eyes. They are on the straight path. They're healthy, they're in good stead, and we have nothing to worry about. And this is why frequently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when the prophets ask Allah, they ask Him to gift them children, spouses, and family that makes them happy. Innaka antal wahhab. There's one last gift that Allah can give us. We talked about family. We talked about iman. We talked about kingdom and power and wealth in this world. All of these are gifts Allah can give us, but we have to ask Him sincerely. Yes, Habib. Innaka antal wahhab. Beautiful. One of the gifts that Allah mentions in the Quran that He gives is the gift of good character. Musa alayhi salam. He asks Allah, رب هب لي حكما وألحقني بالصالحين. Oh Allah, gift me good judgment, the ability to make good decisions. This is a gift from Allah. So many of us in this room, we all have our challenges with our character. Somebody has an anger problem. Somebody has a problem with this. Somebody has a problem with that. Somebody tells lies compulsively. Somebody is always late. Somebody is... Everybody has a different problem in our character. One of the greatest gifts Allah can give us is a clean heart and a good character. So one of the things that Ibrahim alayhi salam asks Allah, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. Oh Allah, don't humiliate me on the day of judgment. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. The day in which my wealth and my children will do nothing for me. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except the one who comes to Allah with a clean heart. Oh Allah, give me a clean heart. Say Ameen. The Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدِ الْخَفِيِّ التَّقِيِّ النَّقِيِّ. Allah loves a person who is hidden, who is God-conscious, God-fearing, and who is pure of heart. Clean of heart. To sleep with a clean heart, with no hatred, no grudges, no anger against any human being. If Allah gifts you a clean heart, this is one of the greatest gifts of Allah. You cannot pay for this, guys. You cannot value the value of this gift from Allah. To have a clean character and to have a pure heart. Innahu huwa al-wahhab. When you ask Allah, as these nights draw near, ask Allah with His name, Al-Wahhab. Ask Him, be daring. Ask Him for the greatest of His gifts. And then say, you are Al-Wahhab. Nothing is beyond you to give me. Allah says in the Quran,
أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ الْعَزِيزِ الْوَهَّابِ.
You cannot imagine the khazain, the store, the bank balance, the treasures of Allah, you cannot imagine. So why are you being so modest with your request? The Prophet ﷺ says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed to him that لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ. If the first human beings, all the way to the last human beings, hundreds of billions of people, وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ. Every human in the history of the world, and every jinn in the history of the world, hundreds of billions of creatures, if they all stood in one place, قَامُوا فِي صَعِيدٍ وَاحِدٍ فَسَأَلُونِي. And they asked Allah whatever they wanted. فَأَعْطَيْتُ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مَسْأَلَتَهُ. Allah gave them whatever they asked for, every single one of them. Imagine this scenario. Allah says, مَا نَقَصَ ذَٰلِكَ فِي مُلْكِ شَيْءٍ. You have not reduced the kingdom of Allah. Imagine if every human in history asked Allah whatever they want, and Allah gave them whatever they wanted, that would not reduce the kingdom of Allah, except like a needle pricked into the ocean, when it takes out. How much water comes out of the ocean? One drop. That's the comparison that Allah gives us. Yes, Habib.
When Prophet Sulaiman asked, he asked like sincerely. So like you have to ask.
Beautiful. Jazakumullah khairan.
Beautiful.
Jazakumullah khairan. When you ask Allah for something, He's saying one of the reasons Sulaiman alayhi salam was granted such a kingdom is because he intended to use this kingdom, power, wealth, luxury that he had for the service of Allah. And when Allah bless it, when we ask Allah for a blessing, intend with it, I want to use this for the sake of Allah. I want to use it to serve Allah. I don't want this thing to be a fitna for me, a test for me, a reason for me to be punished on the day of judgment. We come to the second name of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Fattah. Who can tell me where is Al-Fattah mentioned in the Quran? Anybody can tell me? Yes. Good. In Surah Saba, you gave the surah, you have to give me the ayah now. قُلْ يَجْمَعُ. Come on, Sheikh. Your vision needs it. It's okay. It's nearly 7 p.m. We'll let you off. So, yes. Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. Every time these boys, MashaAllah. قل ما يجمع بيننا ربنا ثم يفتح بيننا بالحق وهو الفتاح العليم. فتح يفتح in Arabic means فتح. What does it mean in Arabic? To open. الفتاح, the one who repeatedly opens the closed doors. The one who repeatedly relieves you when things have closed up for you. This is what Al-Fattah means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He refers to, many times He uses this word, Fatah. I want to take you to one specific incident in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Muslims are in Medina. The Muslims number roughly 1,400 men. And they go to make an agreement with the non-Muslims, with the people of Makkah. This agreement, it does not favor the Muslims on paper. Every line in this agreement does not favor the Muslims. When the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ signs this agreement, the Muslims are really feeling upset, really feeling sad. Who knows the name of this agreement? Al-Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. In this agreement, the Prophet ﷺ signs an agreement with the people of Makkah that they will allow the Muslims to go and do the pilgrimage. But anybody who leaves Makkah to come to Medina and accept Islam, the Muslims have to send them back. But anybody who leaves the Muslims and goes and takes safety in Makkah, the Muslims can't do anything to bring them back. The agreement, if you read the words, it doesn't favor the Muslims. But it has only one positive. It gives the Muslims safety. They don't have to live in fear every day that someone's going to attack them. When the Prophet ﷺ signs this agreement, or rather, he cannot write. Right? We know the Prophet ﷺ is illiterate, he cannot read or write. Now, illiterate doesn't mean he's uneducated. He's the most educated man in history, but he is illiterate, he cannot read or write. When he commands Ali ibn Abi Talib, sign my name at the bottom, Ali ibn Abi Talib refuses. Even at the start of the agreement, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Meccans say, we don't know ar-Rahman, so write Bismika Allahumma. They don't agree to anything, right? They have the upper hand, and it is like the Muslims have the lower hand. When the Prophet ﷺ agrees to these terms and he walks away, Allah reveals Quran. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. O Muhammad, we have opened for you a great opening. Umar ibn Khattab is so angry on this day, so upset. He says, Awa fathun hu? Where is the opening? I don't see it. What did Allah open for us? I don't see any opening. Where's the opening? He's furious, he's angry, he's upset. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes a door for you in your life. You're trying to get something, it's not happening. Whether it's a job, whether it's marriage, whether it's peace of mind, whether it's stability, whether it's safety. All of us are seeking something. Sometimes we find Allah has closed the door. It's like we're hitting our head on a brick wall. Boom, boom, boom. Keep going, it's closed. It's a brick wall, it's lead, made of lead. There's no way through to the other side. It's at this point we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fattah. Anytime you find something closed upon you in life, ask Allah from His name Al-Fattah to open the door for you. If you try to open this door with your hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will break down this door. The Muslims are in Medina. They are effectively in a stalemate. They cannot go anywhere. Every day they live in fear they're going to get attacked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them this agreement, this peace agreement with the people of Makkah. But when you read the lines of the agreement, it looks like this is not a good deal. It's a bad deal. It's a bad negotiation. That's what it looks like. But what were the outcomes of this deal? The Muslims that day, the day they signed the agreement, were 1,400 Muslims. Within 2 years, who can tell me how many Muslims accepted Islam? How many were there in total? 10,000 Muslims. What's the return on investment? 10 times. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens a door for you and it doesn't look like He opened the door. But you learn later on that this was a great opportunity for you. because of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Muslims had 2 years of safety. People could come, other tribes could come and embrace Islam, and there would be no threat against them. There's no sword, no knife to the throat. In safety and in peace, they could trade, they could buy, they could sell, they could do da'wah, they could invite people to Islam. Their population of Muslims multiplied by 10 in just 2 years. Allah opened the door. But they didn't realize He opened the door. They didn't think He opened the door. Sometimes Allah opens the door, but you don't realize He's opened it for you. It comes in the form of a closed door. It comes in the form of a difficulty. It comes in the form of something that you are unhappy to accept. But you realize later on, sometimes Allah sends you His gifts wrapped in His calamities. Which name does this remind you of? Allah sometimes sends you His gifts wrapped in a calamity. Al-Latif. Yes. It's the name of Allah, Al-Latif. Allah's name Al-Fattah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
ما يفتح الله للناس من رحمة فلا ممسك لها.
Whenever Allah opens a door of mercy for you, nobody can close that door.
وما يمسك فلا مرسل له من بعده.
And if He closes the door, none can open it but Him. We learn from Allah's name Al-Fattah that the mercy, the bounty, the gifts of Allah, you can think of them like they are doors. And many of us in this world, some doors are closed to us and some doors are open. I'll give you an example. Some people here, like this young man here and this young man here, Allah opened them the door of learning, of memorization, of understanding. Many of us here, we sit with one page of Quran for 6 days. We cannot memorize one line. It's like that door has been closed for us. But there are people here, when they give charity, nobody can beat them in charity. There are people here, when it comes to the night prayer, nobody can beat them in the night. There are people here, when it comes to kindness to relatives, kindness to the needy and the sick and the poor, nobody can beat them. Allah opened for each of us a different door to worship Him, a different door to serve Him. But what happens to us? We see somebody, and one of Allah's doors has been closed to them. So we say, look at this guy. He can't even pray the tahajjud. He can't even pray taraweeh. He prayed Isha and he left. We didn't know. He prayed Isha. He went home to massage his mother's feet, to care for his ill mother. Who is great in the sight of Allah? Somebody tending to an ill parent or somebody praying optional prayer in the masjid. No doubt it is the person who is doing the obligatory duty of looking after their parents. It's far greater in the sight of Allah. Allah opens one door to them and He closes another. Never despair when you feel Allah has closed some doors of worship. For some of you here, you have very stressful and long hours that you work. You work in security. You work in physical labor. You work in construction. You work in decoration. You work in taxi. 12 hours you are driving, talking to customers. 12 hours you are bending your back in the sun. You are sweating and you are thinking, I'm not able to recite the Quran. I'm not able to remember Allah. I'm not able to do charity. I'm stuck in this job the whole day. It is like Allah has closed the door for me to worship Him. Realize, Allah may have closed one door for you, but He has opened for you another. As it is stated in a hadith, its authenticity is disputed, but its meaning is correct. Al-kasibu habibullah. Whoever earns a halal income is the beloved of Allah. Allah opened for you this door to worship Him. Don't underestimate this door. If Allah opened for you one door to worship Him, don't underestimate, don't belittle what Allah has given you the opportunity to do. He is Al-Fattah. And if you want more opportunities, ask Him. He is the one who opens all doors. Very often in this world, especially in some Muslim countries, in order for you to get something, a job, a position, a power, an exception, you need one special word. In Arabic, it starts with waw. Wasta, connections. The famous statement, you call somebody, look, I need somebody to give me a refund on this item. They say, do you know anybody? Man ta'rif. Who are you? It's not about what you are, it's about who you know. For many of us, we know that there are so many things in this world we cannot get unless we know somebody who knows somebody who can make it happen for us. Allah's name Al-Fattah teaches you something. Very often we rely on people to open doors for us. Some connection, some powerful connection, some wealthy connection to go and call the member of parliament, call somebody they know in the police force, somebody they know in the hospital. Allah's name Al-Fattah teaches us. Who did Ayyub alayhi salam know when he was in the belly of the whale? Who did Yusuf alayhi salam know when he was locked away in a room in the palace, when he was imprisoned? Who did Musa alayhi salam know when he was exiled in Madian for 10 years in the middle of nowhere? When you know nobody, when all the doors are closed, ask Allah Al-Fattah, the one who opens all doors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ.
When the prophets, when they give up on their people, they tried all the methods to invite them to Allah. Morning, night, loud, quiet, secret, public. They tried so many ways to convince the people around them. Still, it's like their hearts are closed and locked up. Then they ask Allah with His name Al-Fattah, O Allah, open the hearts of my people to guidance. You are the opener of everything that is closed. Allah's name Al-Fattah and Allah's name Al-Wahhab. Do not spend the night in the last 10 nights except you mention these two names. Because all of us have doors that have been closed to us, but Allah is the one that can open them. All of us are looking, are seeking something from Allah, and Allah is the one who can wrap that in a gift and put it at your door at one day delivery. But we have to have good expectations of Allah. This is something I want to end this talk with. Many of us, we think very little of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي, I will be as you expect me to be. You think that I am a miser? You think I don't have much? You will not get much from me. You think I'm powerless? You won't get any power from me. You think that somebody else is more important than me? Go and ask them. Don't ask me. Go ask them if they are so important to you, if they are so powerful to you. You think that I'm not going to provide for you, cater to your needs, respond to you when you ask? Then don't ask me. Ask to those you think who will respond. The crux and the center of dua is to have a conversation with Allah. And to have a conversation with Allah, we have to know with certainty, and we have to have good hopes in Him. That when we ask, He will respond. When the door is closed, He will open. So many of us, Allah is the last one that we ask. We ask 10 people, and then when all fails, then we go to Allah. But we forgot, Allah was more powerful than all of them combined. Why did we not ask Him first before we asked anybody else? This doesn't mean we don't take the means. For the door to open, we have to knock. But we can still ask the one with the keys. So many doors are locked to us. You can try brute force. You can try to punch it down. But Allah has the keys to all the doors. He is Al-Fattah. He has the Miftah. He has the key. So don't go asking the ones who don't have the keys. Ask the one who owns all the keys to all the doors. He owns the keys to all the treasures. He owns all and He sees all. And He is the one that we should turn to. He is the one that Sulaiman alayhi salam asks when all the doors are closed. When Ayyub alayhi salam, his illness takes him to the extent where he has no hope, he turns to Allah. When Zakariya alayhi salam has tried all the methods, he can't have children, he asks Allah for the gift. When everything you tried has failed, do not lose hope in Allah. That is the gravest of sins. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the two angels come to him, and they say to him, you're going to have a son. Allah's gifted you this son. He says, me? How can I have a son? And they say to Ibrahim, لا تكن من القانطين. Do not ever be a person who loses hope from Allah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam says, وَمَن يَقْنَطُ مِن رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ. Nobody loses hope in Allah except people who are lost. Many of us sitting here have lost hope in Allah. We have been asking Him, we have been pleading Him, we have been trying, and nothing's happening. And we lose hope. You have not lost more hope than Zakariya after 100 years of trying to have a child. you have not lost more hope than Ayyub after decades of chronic illness. You have not lost more hope than Ibrahim, whose father threw him into a fire. You have not lost more hope than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who buried his mother with his hands, who buried his son with his hands, who buried his uncle with his hands. How many of his loved ones died in front of his own eyes? And yet, after all of that, they never lost hope in Allah. And so Allah always, after a long wait and a long patience, He opened the door to them. Nuh alayhi salam. 950 years. I want you to remember one word when you go home. Just one sentence. His delay does not mean his denial. If Allah is delaying giving you something, that doesn't mean He has denied it from you. That doesn't mean He rejected you. You have to wait. We have to be patient. أَلَيْسَ الصُّبْحُ بِقَرِيبٍ. The help of Allah is near. هذا وصلوا وسلموا وباركوا على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.